It's an honor and privilege to be here tonight and share out of God's Word. The message I have tonight is called The Love of God. And when I preach tonight, it isn't a bunch of stuff that I'm saying. It's what the Word of God says. When you listen to a pastor of a church or anybody preaching, it better have the Word of God in it. What does Jesus say? Not what man says. Not a bunch of fluff. We got to get right down to what really matters. It's the Word of God. And the Word of God does not return void. I'm going to start out with probably the most popular verse in the whole Bible. What verse is it? There you go. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It starts out, for God so loved the world. The world. What's that mean? Does that mean just people in the United States? When He says He loved the world, He's saying everybody. Whether you're living in China, India, Africa, Afghanistan, Japan, wherever you're at. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, what's that mean? Anybody, doesn't it? Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul." We need rest for our souls, don't we? Huh? It's a rough world out there. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all." All of us. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus says this, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." He's came down for us because He cares. And in Matthew chapter 9, verse 9 through 13, "And as Jesus passed forth, He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And He said unto him, Follow me. And Matthew arose and followed Him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat eating in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with Him and His disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it," a Pharisee was a religious leader back in Jesus' day. And a lot of these religious leaders hated Jesus. They were jealous of Jesus. A lot of them strutted around with their big long robes, looking religious, saying big long prayers, trying to impress people. Well, they're seeing Jesus eating with these tax collectors and sinners, and here's what they say. "And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto to the disciples, Why does your master eat with these tax collectors and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, He said unto them," He said, "They that are well need not a doctor, but they that are sick need the doctor. But go ye and learn what I had said. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I have not come into the world to call the righteous, but I came to call the sinners to repentance." Jesus cares about everybody. Isn't He's going to hang around some clique? Ever been around people where they just hang around certain people? They got their own little clique. Any outsider comes in, they don't want nothing to do with them. They're not good enough. Jesus says, you don't hang around with the cliques. He had compassion on all people. He's out there. People need, where He see the need, He was there because He cared. I heard this little saying once, and it means a lot. It says, love, the definition of love, is helping someone who cannot repay you. You do it out of love. Sometimes people help others because they know that that person's going to help them out later. But true love is helping somebody expecting nothing in return. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, says this, but God commended His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Who's us? Everybody, isn't it? He died for all of us. He died for me. Died for every one of us here today. Because He cares about all of us. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, it says this. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, who gave Himself as a ransom for all men. God loved us so much, He gave us a choice, to follow Him or reject Him. It's a free will, a free choice. He started out with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, it talks about that. It says, God told Adam, you can eat of every tree in the garden, every tree, except one. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat, because you shall surely die. Was the tree poison? I don't believe the tree was poison. Because in Genesis talks that God made everything good. It was good. I believe the tree was there to give them that choice, the free will. So Adam and Eve both had a choice, to follow God or follow their own selfish desires. And what'd they do? They follow their own selfish desires, like we all do. We're born into sin. God did not program Adam and Eve like a computer or a robot. He could have, but He didn't. He loved them so much, He gave us their own free will, their own choice, their own mind, their own independence. And that's true love. If you're a dad here tonight, if you have a child, let's say you worked all day and you coming home and you open the door to the house and that little child sees you. The little child is excited, comes up, hugs you, says, I love you, Daddy, I love you. Tickled death to see you. Doesn't that really mean something? What would it mean if you could take your child and put a chip in their brain and program them to love you? When that child came up and said, Daddy, I love you, Daddy, I care about you, does that mean anything? No. Your little child had a free will and a free choice to love you or not. And that's what God's love is, to give us that free will, even though it may cost. That free will is priceless to each and every one of us, and we take it for granted. And God made rules for us. God gave us an owner's manual, the Holy Bible. He loved us so much, He gave us rules. And the rules there are to guide us, to help us, to keep us out of trouble, to give us the best. Just like I say again, if you're a father of a little child, you have to have rules for that child if you care for that child. The person that doesn't give their child rules doesn't really care for their child. Johnny, don't play in the street. Do you tell them that because you hate them? That's a rule you give them because you love them. You care. Johnny, don't get in a car with a stranger. Another rule. Is it because you hate them? No, it's because you love them. You want the best for them. And that's why God gave us rules. And when we disobey the rules, price is to pay. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, this shows God's love. Jesus was looking over the city of Jerusalem, God's chosen city, God's chosen people. He's looking over the city, and this is what Jesus says. He says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killed the prophets and stoned them which are sent to you, how often would I have gathered you as thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chicks underneath her wings, and you would not." You would not come to me. You would not listen to me. We sent the prophets to you to tell you about my coming. I care about you. As a hen would gather, if a hen sees danger like a hawk flying above, all the little chicks come underneath mother's wings to be protected. And that's what he's talking about. But you would not. You wouldn't come to me for your protection. I care. I love you. And it hurt him there. And you would not. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. It says, "Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as of one day to the Lord." So what this verse is saying, that time is no issue with God. A thousand years is like one day to Him. It doesn't mean nothing. And it goes on to say, "The Lord is not slow concerning His promises, as some men think." The Lord has His timing. We're always impatient. Sometimes we think, "Lord, why didn't you answer my prayer today? Now I need you." The Lord has His time. It isn't always our time. "But the Lord is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." How many? He wants all. He wants all of us to come to repentance. He's not willing that any should perish. And praise God He's long-suffering, because, you know, if we got what we really deserved, we really wouldn't want it. He's long-suffering. Isaiah chapter 52, the tail end of 52 and the start of 53. I'm going to read some of this. This is powerful stuff. If you have some doubts that the Bible's real, whether it's really God's Word, you read Isaiah 53. It was written 700 years before Jesus Christ was born. 700 years before He was born. When I read this, you'll be amazed, because it sounds like it was written after Jesus hung on the cross. It's that much detail about what the Messiah, the old Jewish Bible had this in it. And if the Jews would really have been looking, they couldn't help but see without a doubt that the Messiah was Jesus Christ. The Jews are still looking for the Messiah, but He's came and gone. He died for our sins, and He's coming back. But the tail end of Isaiah chapter 52, verse 15, it says, "They shall see my servant beaten and bloodied, and so disfigured, one would scarcely know he was a person standing there. So shall he cleanse many nations." And it starts here at 53. "But oh, how few believe it. Who will listen? To whom will God reveal His saving power? In God's eyes, He was like a tender green shoot sprouting from a root from dry, sterile ground. But in our eyes, there was no attractiveness at all, nothing to make us want him. We despised him and rejected him. That's what happened, wasn't it? We despised and rejected him. A man of sorrows, acquainted with bitter griefs. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way when he went by. He was despised and we didn't care. Yet, it was our griefs he bore, our sorrows that weighted him down. We thought his troubles were a punishment from God for his own sins, but he was wounded and bruised for our sins. That's what happened. He was punished that we might have peace. He was lashed that we were healed. We are the ones who strayed away like sheep. We who left God's paths to follow our own. Yet God laid on him the guilt and the sins of every one of us. That's what happened. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he never said a word. That's what happened. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shears. He was dumb, so he stood silent before the ones condemning him. That's what Jesus did. From a prison to a trial, they led him away to his death. That's exactly what happened to Jesus. But who among the people of that day realized it was their sins he was dying for, that he was suffering their punishment? He was buried like a criminal in a rich man's grave. That's exactly what happened. But he had done no wrong and had never spoken an evil word. Yet, it was the Lord's good plan to bruise him and to fill him with grief. But when his soul had been made an offering for sins, then shall he have a multitude of children, many heirs. He shall live again. The third day arose, wasn't it? That's exactly what happened. And God's program shall prosper in his hands. And when he sees all that was accomplished by the anguish of his soul, he shall be satisfied. And because of what he has experienced, my righteous servant shall make many to be counted righteous before God, for he shall bear all their sins. Therefore, I will give him the honors of one who is mighty and great, because he has poured out his soul unto death. He was counted as a sinner, and he bore the sins of many, and he pled with God for sinners. Powerful. Doesn't that sound like it was written right after Jesus hung on the cross and rose again? But it was written 700 years before Jesus was born. If that doesn't prove the Word of God's for real, I don't know what will. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, Jesus says, "The road to hell is broad and wide, and many be there that find that way." It's a sad verse, isn't it? "But the road to heaven is straight and narrow is the way to heaven, and few be there that find it." Few. The road to heaven is straight and narrow is that way which leads to heaven. Sad, but true. And in John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There's one way. Because Jesus Christ paid that way on the cross. Sinless God. Even with His arms open wide, what did He say? With nailed to the cross in anguish, He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." No greater love ever shown than that on the cross. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, Jesus says this too, "Beware of false prophets, false teachers, preachers, beware of them, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves." You know, there's a lot of people that talk to talk, that they're preaching. They wear their reverend rigs or whatever you want to call it, all dressed up, looking innocent. But watch them if they aren't preaching the Word of God. They're leading people right on the road to hell. This one evangelist was talking, and he was talking about this other evangelist. And he says, you know, that evangelist is leading people to hell with a positive attitude. And he was right. There's some of these preachers that don't preach the Word of God. They preach a bunch of fluff. And people get a good feeling because they're just hearing a bunch of fluff. And they think they're on their way to heaven. But they're not. They're on their way to hell with a positive attitude. You need to get in the Word of God yourself and know the true Word. Amen. Jesus says, beware. And then He goes on in verse 21, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Jesus says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. For many," this is in judgment day, "for many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out demons? And in thy name done many wonderful works for you, Lord?" And here's what the Lord says. "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work wickedness." Someday, we're all going to be standing before the Lord. Is He going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Or is He going to say, "Depart from me, you that work wickedness. I never knew you." Wow. Talk is cheap. There's a lot of people that say they're Christians. Don't talk the talk if you don't walk the walk. Because when you're doing the talk and not the walk, you're turning more people away from Jesus Christ than you ever will lead them to Christ. And you're going to be accountable before the Lord Jesus Christ someday for your walk and your talk. So they both better match. In Luke chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says this, Blessed are they that hear the Word of God and keep it. And keep it. You want to have peace in your life? Blessings in your life? Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 says this, "I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee." Trust in the Lord. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 says this, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ." You can have the peace, not what the world has, but the peace that passes all understanding. The world may say, there's nobody in this Cass County jail can be happy, can have peace. But Jesus says, you can have that peace that passes all understanding. Even here in the Cass County jail, you can have peace through Jesus Christ. Even through the rough times, even through the sad times, when you're leaning on Him. Because you know, this is all temporary. When you're a Christian, our home's in heaven. I love it. We're on the winning side. You can have that assurance through Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 8, verse 37 through 39, it talks about what can separate us from God. Let's see what it says. It says, "In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord." If He is your Lord, you're on the winning side. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. It's a powerful verse. Remember this one when you're a Christian. Jesus says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." When you're one of His, He will never leave you nor forsake you. Sometimes we leave Him. There's a little saying I seen in one of them daily breads that it always kept in my mind. If you're not as close to God as you used to be, guess who moved? It's us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Trust in the Lord. Don't trust in this worldly things we have down here. You trust in the Lord with how much? All your heart. "And lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." Have you made peace with God, with Jesus Christ, the one that made you, the one that loved you, the one that died on a cross for you? It's your choice to accept Him or reject Him. As long as you have breath, you have a choice. But someday that choice will be gone. We're talking about God's love, but He is a just God. He is a caring God. And He gave us a way to get away from hell, to not worry about hell. And like the verse we started with, John 3:16. Some of you know John 3:16, but you don't know John 3:16 through 18. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but through Him that the world may be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." Condemned already. He is a just God. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, it says this. Paul writes this. Paul says, "Whom we preach, warning every man." Paul says, "I'm preaching. We're preaching to warn every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man mature in Jesus Christ." That we may present every man mature in Jesus Christ. We know it isn't going to happen that every man's going to get saved, because we just read, the road to hell is broad and wide, and many be there that find it. But God's desire that we present every man mature in Christ. That's His desire. I'm going to quote some verses. It's called the Romans Road. I don't know if you've ever heard about the Romans Road, but we're going to quote some verses here. Powerful verses out of the Word of God. Romans 3, verse 10. "There is none righteous, no, not one." God's saying there's none good enough to go to heaven. There's none perfect. Jesus came died on that cross for us. The perfect sacrifice for our sins. Sin cannot be contaminated. Heaven cannot be contaminated with sin. If there was one sin in heaven, heaven wouldn't be perfect anymore. And we being sinners can't go to heaven. But that's why Jesus Christ came down. He paid the price on the cross for all of us. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, He cleanses us from all unrighteousness, from all our sins. And we're cleaned up so we can go to heaven. Isn't that awesome? Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 5:8 says this, "But God commended His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 6:23. Here's where there's great hope in this verse. Listen to it. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Wow. Romans 10:10. "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scriptures say, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed." Then in John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus says this, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." I've been coming to this jail for going on 23 years. I've talked to a lot of people here at the jail. And one thing in common over all them years, when I talked to a lot of guys, they said, "Gary, I've been in and out of this jail. And every time I come in here to the jail, I say I'm never coming back. But I always come back. What can I do that I won't be back here in the jail again? I'm in and out, I'm in and out. Help me." And I tell them this story. Whenever I preach here, I tell this story because it has a lot of wisdom in it. It's a story about an old missionary. Back in the old days, before cars, the old cowboy and Indian days, and horseback. And this missionary, he had a burden for the Indian people. He rode on horseback from Indian village to Indian village with his big old Bible, telling the Indian people about Jesus Christ, how He died for them. One day he was telling an old Indian chief about Jesus, and the Indian chief got saved. He asked Jesus Christ in his heart to be his Lord and Savior. Missionary stayed there a few more days and he moved on to other villages. 3 months later, he comes back to this Indian village where the Indian chief came to Christ. And one evening they're sitting beside each other at the campfire. And the missionary asked the old Indian chief, he says, "How is it being a Christian now?" The old Indian chief says, "It's great. The load of sin I always carried, it's gone. And I have that peace that the Bible says passes all understanding. I know when I die, I'm going to heaven. It's great." But he says, "You know, there's two cats inside of me, and they fight. From the time I get up in the morning
till the time I go to bed. They're fighting. And the missionary says, what are you talking about? Two cats inside of you fighting. The Indian chief says, well, one cat represents the old flesh, the old me, the things that used to get me in trouble. And the other cat represents Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit living within me. And they fight. From the time I get up in the morning to the time I go to bed, the flesh says, let's go do these things. And the Spirit says, no, don't do those things. Do what's right. And they're always fighting. And the missionary says, well, which cat usually wins? And here's the wisdom of the whole story. The Indian chief says, the one I feed the most wins. If you're feeding the flesh, that's the one that's going to control your life, and you'll be back here. But if you're a true Christian, you'll be feeding the Spirit. You'll be reading your Bible. You'll be memorizing the Word of God. You'll become stronger in the Lord. The Holy Spirit will control your life, and you'll be starving the flesh to death so it won't control. I have a buddy, it's a professional bodybuilder. To be what he is today, what did he have to do? He had to do a lot of sacrificing. Had to eat the right food. He had to pump iron even when he didn't want to pump iron. Has to get up every 2 hours and eat during training. Things he doesn't like to do. But his body is pumped. He's in magazines all over the United States. He sacrificed that. We as Christians need to sacrifice being in the Word of God days that we don't want to be in the Word of God. Pump up spiritually. Beat the old flesh. Beat the old devil. The devil knows every weak spot you have. He knows every temptation, and he's going to hang it right in front of you like a pork chop in front of a dog. He knows it. Are you going to go for the bait? The Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world when you have Christ. If you're here tonight and you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, how many cats do you have? You got one. It's the flesh. And you'll never overpower Satan with your flesh, because Satan will beat you up every time. You may think you're the man and you have control of your life, but when you don't have Christ, you're a puppet on the strings. He knows how to manipulate us in the flesh. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, it says this, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Do you get that? The things you see in this room, everything, is temporary. Look at your body. You ever seen anybody that's lived 200 years? No. Your body is temporary. This building is temporary. It's going to fall down someday. And some of you say, praise the Lord! But in them chairs you're sitting on, it's all temporary. It's going to the dump someday. Get recycled. But the thing you don't see is eternal. It's your soul. It's housed in this fleshly body right now. But that body's temporary. And what you decide here on earth determines where that soul ends. Ends up in heaven or hell. There's no middle of the road. And Jesus died on the cross for your sins. There's hope through Jesus Christ. There's comfort through Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says this, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. That's our hope as Christians. Here's another hope. Revelations 21:4 says this, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrows, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are all passed away. Wow. Can't wait to that day. No more sorrow, no more sickness, no more tears. Huh?
I'll ask you this right now. If you would die today, where would you be? Is it heaven or hell? There's no middle of the road. Where would you be? If your answer is, maybe I'd be in heaven. I hope I'm in heaven. I hope. I don't know for sure. Chances are you're on your way to hell. And it's not what I'm saying. It's what the Word of God says. Because in 1 John 5:13 it says this, "These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." You knew whether you accepted Christ or not. You knew whether you'd done real business with God or not. I don't know. You could play church all your life and fool a lot of people. But the Lord knows where you stand with Jesus Christ. I want to read Psalm chapter 1. It says this, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seats with the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he does meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water, and bringeth forth fruit in his season, and his leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. But the ungodly are not as so, but they are like chaff which the wind blows away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand, and in judgment the sinner will not stand with the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the ways of the righteous, but the ways of the ungodly shall perish." Shall perish. I'm going to ask you tonight, what are you going to do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? That's what Pontius Pilate said when they were getting ready to crucify Jesus. They had him out there. And they got to choose between a wicked man named Barabbas or Jesus. Which one are you going to choose? Which one are you going to crucify? And the crowd says, they chose Barabbas. And then Pontius Pilate says, what are you going to do with Jesus? They said, crucify him, crucify him. I ask you, what are you going to do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? You can either accept him or reject him. That's the ultimate question in your life. What are you going to do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Door of your heart. "If any man hear my voice and open that door, I will come into him." Is he knocking on the door of your heart tonight? Is the Holy Spirit knocking? If he is, it's time to do business with Jesus. The Bible says, "For today is the day of salvation." You're not guaranteed your next breath. You know, you may pray to the Lord to change your circumstances in here. But maybe the Lord's hoping that the circumstances change you. Huh? There's a lot of men and women I've talked to. The best thing that ever happened to them was in and up here at Cass County Jail. Someone said, "I might be dead by now if I'd still been out there. I found Jesus in jail. I'm a new man in Jesus Christ." Jesus fills a void we try to fill with earthly things. We're going to give an altar call. That's the time you can come forward and do business with Jesus. You can't be a secret Christian. Jesus died publicly for you. We're to live publicly for Him. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, 32 and 33. "If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. If you deny me before men,
I will deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. Whew, powerful words. Stand for Jesus. One night a guy come to Christ. He said it was hard coming up. He says, I had to swallow my pride. You know, pride's sin. It'll keep you right on the road to hell. He had to swallow his pride. He said, I started to come up. And the guy next to him, he said, grabbed him and said, sit down. But you know, he came up anyways. Satan had his last tug. So if he's tugging, you come forward. Because you know, the Bible says our hearts can become hardened. The more we hear the word and reject it, the tug isn't as hard next time. Maybe a little less the next time after that. So if the Lord's tugging, come forward. I'm going to close with this one verse. Joshua 24, verse 15. Joshua says, choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Who are you serving? Who are you going to serve in life? When I came to Jesus Christ at the age of 25, He changed my life. He changed my priorities. And like I say, didn't used to be the type of one to get in front of anybody. I'd stutter all the time. I couldn't read hardly at all. But the Lord changed my heart. I know He's real because He lives within my heart. And I know when I die, I'm going to heaven. Not because I'm good and kind, because I'm none of them things. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I'm going to heaven because what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. And I accepted it. Where are you tonight? I got these little booklets. Knowing God personally. You come up here if you don't know Jesus. If He's talking. We'll say the sinner's prayer together. And you could be assured as heaven as if you were already there. And it's not what I'm saying. It's what the Word of God says. And the Word does not return void. So if He's tugging, you come on up.